Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. Him over there. Him. He's Nick Bright. Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, this is the show where we talk about tech like no one else does. I don't know why I said that in such a sinister way. We talk about tech like no one else does. And this is our review episode where we talk about ways that we've been killing time, or as we like to call it here, kill a bit. Right? Cool. This time last week, Nick and I said we'd be talking about something that we were just getting into, and we've gotten into it, and we've gotten out of it, and we've driven around in it. What were we killing time with this week, Nick?
We were killing time in a car, which is quite exciting. An electric vehicle, in fact, an Audi Q4 e-tron S-Line.
Ooh.
Which is like, it's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Like, an Audi Q4 e-tron S-Line.
Yeah.
I think it was the 40 edition as well.
If you pronounce your whole car's full middle and last names, yeah, you're a dickhead, by the way. No, I'm not. You wouldn't do it, Nick. But if you think you're cool by doing that when you introduce yourself to somebody and you're going to get pussy off the back of it or some willy or whatever, you're not. Because it's not big.
An Audi Q4 e-tron S-Line. It's a fully electric car. It's very good, yes.
If you're at a car event, cool, but you can't just turn up at a party and be like, "Hi, I'm Marcus and I drive an Audi Q4 e-tron S-Line." No, you're not getting any pussy. You're not.
Just say an Audi Q4, mate.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, or an e-tron.
Q4.
Yeah, an Audi e-tron. And then be like, someone will say, "What type?" And you'd say, a Q4. But unlike dickheads that announce their whole name, the car's pretty cool, isn't it? Do you want to talk through the experience, Nick? You've had a bit more time with it than myself.
Yeah, the car is super cool. Like, regular listeners to the show will know that I'm a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to electric cars, just because the range and, you know, stuff like that we spoke about before in the past has always been an issue with me. It's not the actual concept of an electric car, because that's the way we do need to go, both, you know, for environmental purposes, and just that's the way technology is going, isn't it? You know, but the car was really, really nice. It's kind of like an SUV, so decent size, lots of room in the car if you're talking practicalities. But then the tech in the vehicle was really, really good as well. You know, got everything you need in there. My favorite thing though, and this is how you know I'm such a basic dude, because you know, like when you go on car websites and they go through all the list of tech and it's got this and it's got that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, does it have Apple CarPlay? Because that's what I need to know. Like, all this other stuff that you're going through, yeah, it's nice to have it, but like, can I plug my phone in and will my phone come up on the screen in the car?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. One, and two, wireless CarPlay at that. So it's my first experience of wireless CarPlay, because even though I've got quite a new car myself, I think Mercedes fumbled the bag, to be honest with you, because my car doesn't have wireless CarPlay. I don't know why. It's annoying. Still have to plug it in.
Well, did you actually use the wireless CarPlay? Because it has a wireless charger in it as well that I didn't find. I was there like, Nick was like, yeah, what lead shall I bring? I was like, oh, it can take a USB-C, or there's a USB-C to a normal USB adapter.
You need a converter, don't you?
Yeah.
You need the little adapter.
That's
but,
it.
Yeah, the wireless CarPlay is literally, there's like a little clip in the you know, in the console in the middle, and you like kind of clip your phone into that, and it's like a wireless charging pad, which was quite cool. But yeah, I did use the wireless CarPlay, which is sick, because you don't have to put it into the charger for the wireless CarPlay to kick in. It just kicks in when you get in the car.
Sick. So you can just wirelessly just jump in the car, listening to this podcast, and all of a sudden it's thumping out of the speakers of the e-tron.
And you don't have to remove your phone from your pocket. It just knows that the phone is in the car and therefore just connects to the system, and wireless CarPlay is a go.
That's a good shout. That's actually a good shout. I mean, let's talk about the insides of the car. I mean, because it's a kind of Q4 range, when you're looking at kind of Q3 and upwards in the Audi range, you are getting quite a luxurious drive. Would you say that you had the kind of comfort level that you'd expect from an SUV of that size?
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny, actually, because today's the first day that I drove my car, because I've been driving the e-tron and they only picked it up this morning. And going from an SUV, which obviously, you know, Audi is a quality, you know, manufacturer, German, you know, they do their thing. But Mercedes also a quality manufacturer, but my car is a CLA Mercedes. So it's like a little coupe car. So to go from a SUV back into a coupe, you do feel it. Like, to be honest with you, most definitely, both in terms of the space, but also the ride of the car. Because over speed bumps, let's just say in my CLA, I'm feeling that a little bit more over the speed bumps.
Oh, have you had the grind? Have you had the little...
Don't even piss me off about that. All the time. This is why my next car is not going to be a coupe, mate. Like, I can't... The grind just pisses me off. If you're not going like 3 mile an hour over a speed bump, basically when the front end goes over the speed bump, if you're doing like more than 10 mile an hour, the front will go on the floor every single time. And you feel that shit in your heart, you know what I mean?
It's not nice.
Remember the
is
first
it?
Time it happened, I pulled the car over and was like looking under the car and everything. But now I'm just like rags. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get the right grind. You're like, look, I'm doing a little skateboard grind. Isn't Yeah,
it's
that's
fucking
called a curb.
Annoying though. It's like, why is this happening, guys? Like, this is the UK. They love putting speed bumps everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you see why? Like, so Nick and I have actually spoken about cars off the pod before. And I was saying to Nick how my preference has always been SUVs. Like, we and him were just talking about whips. And I feel like everyone's saying, oh my gosh, SUVs are getting so popular and we don't know why. And I think the one of the main reasons is just what you said there, Nick. That is a big deciding factor when you're buying a car is, do I want to feel like my car's being destroyed every time I go over a speed bump, or do I not? And I don't know whether it's going to become a thing where the speed bumps get bigger, so the SUVs get higher, the speed bumps get a bit bigger, the SUVs get higher. We're going to be driving monster trucks by 2030, Nick. That's what's going to be happening. But
honestly.
But yeah, but like, so inside was nice. And again, I'll say this, when it comes to like the Q3 and the Q4 upwards, you've got enough space. Me and Nick are 6 foot, over 6 foot, right? So there's enough space in the front. Once we pop the seat backs, so there's enough space, I'd say, for a couple of geezers in the back as well, or ladies that are in the back that are of 6 foot.
Yeah.
When you
in my car again, sorry to butt
in. That's right.
In my CLA, like when I have the seat in my driving position, which is obviously where I have the seat all the time. If you're only a kid can sit behind me, real talk. If there's an adult sitting behind me, it's peak for them.
Exactly.
Like, whereas in the Audi, bare room.
Exactly.
You know, I could have sat behind me and I'm 6'3", you know what I mean?
There you go. There you go. Yeah, exactly that. And I think in that range from the Q3 upwards, that's where you get enough space. When you look at that under like the Q2, me and Nick are in the front. You're going to have to, small people in the back only. You're going to have to do that weird thing where you put your legs in the middle and stuff and just rough it out. So inside was nice. I mean, I'm like, Nick, look, you can put all this cool and fancy stuff in there, but really I want to know, do you integrate with my phone properly? And for me personally, and I'm sorry, Nick, I put on all of the safety stuff for the car. So I like put everything up to the nth degree. I know Nick likes more of a manual drive without the car nagging him that he's going within one mile of the speed limit. Do you know what I mean? Sorry about that, bro.
Like cars now, it's like I get nagged at home. You know what I mean? Like when you're with your missus.
Yeah.
I get nagged when I go and see my parents by my mum and all that. When I'm in the car, I just want to put some tunes on and just zone out. Next thing I know, it's like, I'm like, and the thing is, like, I could just turn it off. Yeah, I know I could just turn it off, but it's quite complicated to find all the bits that you need to find to turn it off. Especially when you've only, I don't drive an Audi. Like, if it was a Mercedes, I know where everything is in the Mercedes MBUX system. I can find it in seconds. Like, when I went to Austria a few weeks back to do some filming, I rented a Mercedes B-Class, which had the MBUX system in, so I knew where everything was because it's the same as my car here. Audi system is obviously completely different. It's still a six system, but I don't, you know, when you know, it's like going from a PC to a Mac. You're just not sure what's going on, really. You're looking in the wrong places for shit. So I was like, I'm just leaving this stuff on, but it's fucking annoying.
That was, I can't lie, the first thing I did was get in. I was like, dunk, put that on, boonk, lane control, boonk, that on, boonk. I was like, yes, now I'm safe.
Because the lane control is good. Generally, most of the time, the lane control's accurate, but sometimes you'll go over like a grayed out bit of what used to be a lane. Yeah. And the car thinks it's the lane, and then it starts trying to like slam on the brakes and that. I'm like, fucking hell, what is this? You know, let me drive the thing.
Sorry, bruv. And that's not a slight for Audi. That's all of them. Yeah, that's all of them. Yeah.
Look, listen, that's all that. All my car does that now, actually.
Yeah.
You know, mine's a Merc, like I said. The lane control, it gets confused.
Yeah.
But it gets most confused if someone's crossing the road. But like, they're really far in front of me. They're crossing the road. I can see them, right? They're in the distance. But my car detects there's a human crossing the road. And like, if you don't press the brake, it does it for you, but slams it on pretty hard. But they're like far. It's not like they're like within touching distance. They're far, and then it slams it on. And I'm like, it makes you like worry that something's gone wrong with the car. You know what I mean?
How are you supposed to scare pedestrians by driving right up close to them while they're trying to cross a zebra crossing if the car's going to stop you doing that? Do you know what I mean?
Bro,
we
haven't even mentioned actually the Sonos system.
Yes. Can we talk about that on the inside? Because there's that and one other thing that I like about the inside. How was the Sonos sound system for you, Nick?
Honestly, I feel like it could have been better.
Yep.
It wasn't beefy enough.
Didn't need
me.
A bit like, of bottom end.
I found listening to, when I was listening to stuff low level, it sounded nice. Like the bass and everything sounded nice. But as soon as I had turned it up, I felt like there was no bottom. You lost the bottom end.
Yeah.
When I was turning it up, it became quite tinny.
Yeah.
And therefore the music started sounding a bit distorted. If I was like trying to, you know, like when you're driving, man, you want some bassy tunes, bruv, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we all used to install those mental subs in the boot of our cars, in the little boxes.
Do
the
kids
I mean?
Even like, do that nowadays? Do they buy those little, like, I say shoebox. Mine was like three shoeboxes stacked on top of each other, a little 10-inch subwoofer.
Exactly.
In at the back
JBL,
of my car.
Mate, you know what
you
I mean?
Know like, it, Nick. You'd have more bass in your car than you would have power for anything else. So my lights, headlights were dim when I turned my tunes up.
I think nowadays, because kids don't buy old cars now, everybody gets like these PCP deals, don't they?
Yeah.
These lease deals. So like youngsters now, that their first car is like a pretty decent car with a decent system in. So I don't know whether they really bother putting, unless they're like people who like, you know, certain people still like souping up their cars and putting neon lights underneath and all that shit. But like most people don't really do it. But the Sonos system, it was good. But like I said, I feel like it could have been better for Audi to have a partnership with such a renowned audio company. As soon as I saw that, it's one of the first things I noticed when I got in the car. I don't know if you remember, because you came to mine to pick me up in the car, and I got in and you could see, I was like, oh, Sonos, that's gonna be sick. And it was just a little bit like, that's a bit of a shame, you know.
I hear that, man. I'm with you on that. A quick fix for you, Audi, chuck a sub in the back, that's it, you're done. Get a sub in.
When I was going through, it's funny you say that, actually. When I was going through the one of the settings that I did go through, because like I said, I love listening to tunes in the car, is the audio settings.
Standard.
So I found those and started going through the audio settings. And the bass, I don't know whether you did this because you had the car before me, the bass was already turned up to the max. The treble was just in the middle.
Hi.
But then there was another one called subwoofer or woofer.
Yeah.
And that was up to the top as well. But I think that's if you have a woofer into it, attached to it. There wasn't one in that car, which was a shame.
Exactly.
It probably use more electric, though.
If I was there busting my tunes, my dead prez hip hop, 100%. But like, it's one of those ones. If there is a sub in there and I'm misreading it, it needs to be a bit of a beefier sub for the tunage, right? A couple of other things on the inside, Nick, I want to talk about is, quickly, steering wheel, flat bit at the bottom, really nice. Because it looks sporty, not really, because it doesn't hit my legs when I'm turning corners, that's why I like it. What did you think, as a man who's a Mercedes, and at the moment Mercedes are doing really, you're not a Mercedes, but you weren't a Mercedes. The interior of Mercedes, LED-wise, is killing it at the moment. I will say that they are doing really well with interiors. How was the Q4 interior for you, because it has got the interior LED pack as well? How did that measure up?
Yeah, listen, like, it's quite a gimmick, isn't it, if we're being honest? It was good. It wasn't quite as good as what's in the Mercedes in terms of, like, I think there's more LEDs and more lights in the Mercedes in terms of, like, They've got lights in the vents. So like if you turn your heater on, the lights turn red momentarily to signify that you're turning the temperature up, and if you turn it down, they turn blue in the Mercedes, you know, blah blah blah. But it was decent, you know. The dash all lit up in whatever color you wanted. You could essentially edit it and pick whatever color you fancied, you know what I mean? So okay, that's nice. It was a nice purple color that you'd already pre-selected, so I just left it as that. But yeah, it looked really nice and really clean. But one of the things I've noticed about electric cars in general, you've probably noted this as well, it all started with Toyota Priuses, which I know are hybrids, not fully electric, but even so, they're always really minimal inside in the look.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? Like, like even though there's loads of tech packed in there. So when I say minimal, I don't mean like there's nothing in there, but the look, it's like they try and make it really flat and smooth. And that's what it kind of looked like inside the Q4.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I like minimal. So I'm all good with that, man. It's a good vibe for me. So I didn't mind that so much. I don't like things to be too busy because, to be fair, I've got enough going on in my life at the moment, bruv, without me having to feel like I'm busy. I want to be zen while I'm driving. So yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's also because so much of what's controlled in the car now is done by the touchscreen, you know, like in the settings menu. So like they don't need as many kind of knobs and buttons and stuff like that. Like the biggest knob is the person driving it.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, we're 2 6-foot-3 knobs. Do you know what I mean? That's a given. But right, cool. So, is there anything else you want to add about the inside of the car? Big boot, by the way. I will say that, nice big boot. Or should we start talking about our fun times with the outside of the car?
Not particularly when it comes to the inside. There was a nice, you could like pump up, I don't know whether pump up is the right word, but you know, there was a little thing on the side of the chair where you could kind of adjust the lumbar and do all that. But I guess most cars really kind of have that now. But it was just, oh, the head up dash was nice actually. Should mention that. I know quite a lot of manufacturers now do that, but it was actually my first experience of driving a car with a head-up dash, and it is weird how much it looks like a bit of a computer game. Because on the I don't know whether you can change it, again I didn't delve into the settings too much, but it shows your speed that you're traveling at, it shows you the speed limit of where you are, which, can I just say, is very accurate. It changes, there's no real lag in it. When you go through, you know, maybe from like a 40 to a 50, it changes instantly. And it also shows when you're on the motorway anyway, because I took it on quite a long drive. I went down to see my parents who live in Portsmouth. So from London to Portsmouth, it's about 70 miles. And a long drive, I say, like if there's any people listening in like America or whatever, they're like 70 miles, bro. Like, but anyway, I took it on the motorway, and on the head-up dash, it shows the lane control on that, actually. So it's got two like white lines, and then when the lane control is active, those white lines turn green or red if you stray towards the next lane.
There you go. All right, cool. That's all right. Nice.
Yeah. It was decent, man. And it's just a comfortable ride. You know what I mean? Definitely, that's one thing I will say. Whenever I was in the car, I was like, the comfort levels are high.
Yeah, it's a very comfortable ride. So yeah, I'll definitely make you right on that. Now, it's on the outside. I'd be lying if I said it looked crazily different from a Q4. It's obviously got the e-tron badging on it. It's obviously got the nice big faceplate on it. We had, obviously, as a press car, we got some nice rims on it as well. It did look like a nice car. It had some presence on the road.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you want to associate Audi with good quality looking vehicles, it ticks that box. I don't know what else to say. 100. It looked good. But when it had the
little lights as well, like coming out.
Oh, that's
the,
it.
Coming out of the wing mirrors.
Those look. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I've seen that. You know what? That takes it from all the other big car brands. Did it say e-tron as well?
Yeah, it said e-tron on the floor. Yeah,
that looked proper nice. That looks. You know what? That looks sexy. That's probably the best. I don't know the name of those lights. All the car journos and car lovers will be like, that's the freak lights. But those lights on the side of the car to stop you stepping in dog poo when you get in your car, that's what I call them, the dog poo lights. They looked flipping amazing. I saw them on your story when you posted. I was like, they look lit. But
yeah,
Nick.
Yeah, really nice.
The thing about this car is it's an electric vehicle. So I'm going to ask you about mileage in just a sec. But For starters, I don't know what we did, but Nick and I were trying to look at how to get the electric flap open, which is like a regular petrol flap. For some reason, right, the car mugged us off when we first were trying to open the flap. It was not opening.
It was
at all.
Nightmare. Yeah, so like we had the car was open and unlocked because we had the doors of the car open, right? So really all it should take, there's no flap. So we were looking for a flap for ages, like in the car or like a button. And then it's like, there's no button. So then Marcus was like, let's just actually read the manual. So he found the manual. Then he's like, oh, petrol cap. All you need to do is press it.
Yeah.
So we're there pressing it like a couple of morons, pressing, not opening. So we're like, what's going on? Like, maybe it's wrong. So then we took it to the next level where in the manual it was like, you can actually manually open the petrol cap by going into the boot, lifting up all the stuff in the boot. And then like underneath, there's a little kind of like a wire thing with a loop through it at the end that you can pull, and that should open the petrol cap. Didn't fucking work. We were doing that and I was like, I feel like this is going to snap. I'm pulling this hard like, and it ain't opening. Didn't work. So we were like, shit, what are we going to do? If we can't charge the car, this whole thing's fucked.
Yeah.
So then in the end, we did the classic, the classic tactic. You all know what we did. We closed the doors of the car, closed the boot, turn it off.
Yep.
Locked the car.
Yep.
Unlocked the car.
Yep.
And lo and behold, the petrol cap opened.
Turn it off and turn it on again. When in doubt, petrol. Turn it.
Electric cap. Sorry.
Yeah, electric cap. Yeah.
I'm so stuck in my ways. Electric cap that looks like a petrol cap.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, how many idiots does it take to open an electric flap on a car? And it was the answer was two. We got the car. You know how to charge it. You drove it. Now, Nick, this is the question that is probably the most important when everyone discusses electric vehicles. What was the mileage like when you drove it? Because I drove it across London and I make it into a little game when I drive electric cars. I'm like, how efficient can I be? Which isn't maybe the most realistic way of driving a car. How was your experience for driving the vehicle with regards to the range?
So in town, like you say, when you're driving, you know, in an urban environment, electric cars are great because they're so economical in terms of range, because every time you lift your foot off the accelerator or hit the brakes, it puts some charge back into the battery. Right? You can see that on the dash. So the miles were just staying high all the time, you know, very rarely going down. And then they do start going down, obviously, but because you're constantly putting energy back into the battery, it's helping. Now on the motorway, it's the complete opposite. The complete opposite. So when I hit the motorway, I think there was 205 miles in the vehicle, after I dropped you off. 205 miles in the vehicle. And then I drove to Portsmouth, which is approximately 70 miles. When I got to Portsmouth, there was only 40 miles left in the vehicle. So it went from 205 to 40 when the journey is only 70 miles.
Wow.
And that's because when you're driving on the motorway, you're not lifting off the accelerator. You're not hitting the brakes. The motor was clear all the way. You know what I mean? So it's like you're literally just driving. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were driving probably not at your 50, 60 miles an hour. You were doing a nice clean 70, yeah?
Yeah, I was like up at the speed limit, mate. You know me.
Yeah.
Don't break the law.
Exactly. So you're not getting maximum efficiency, which is that 65 mile an hour range. You're just hitting it at your normal speed, which is how you drive your petrol car, which I think is not a bad thing. So you're saying you didn't really get that value out of the charge. So you're saying, and using the maths, I'm a bit shit at my maths, if you got a full charge in that car, how many miles do you think you'd get? Like, is it less like the 240 or 250 like they were saying? Where would you say it'd be closer to?
Well,
I know it's a hard one, Nick. Sorry, mate. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. Say, so if you were doing around town stuff, you think it'd be cool and you might get that 250. But if you was banging motorway driving, are you saying the efficiency wouldn't be there then? That's a fairer way of saying it, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Definitely not. If you charged it, if you went full charge, which was like you said, it was, I think it was around 250 to 270 miles. If you're on the motorway, you're not getting 250 or 270 out of it. Not a chance.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. Wicked. All right. Fair enough then. I think there's work to be done with electric vehicles and range. And I think, you know, I'm not going to be a liar and pretend that there aren't higher range vehicles out there like Teslas out there. And I think in order for there to be some fair competition on the market from all of the electric vehicles, we need to make sure that we're hitting mileage. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how nice a vehicle is. It does matter how high the mileage is. Really, you want to be able to get around. And maybe that can be improved also, with better charging facilities.
Well, what I was going to say is... Look, you know, the mileage is an important thing, and people will go, oh yeah, but like the mileage for long distance, you know, that's not important. You know, most people don't do long journeys every day. But if I'm getting an electric, if I'm getting kind of an electric prestige car, mm-hmm. like an Audi Q4, mm-hmm. like that's got to work on the motorway and stuff for me as well. Otherwise, I'll just get a G-Wiz or, you know, a small electric car, because I don't want a big electric car just to go from... you know, my auntie's house to my house, which is like 2 miles down the road or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting a big prestige electric car, the motorway side of things in terms of the mileage and stuff like that does have to match what they say it will do, in my opinion.
Okay, I hear that. I think another thing that helps people with the electric experience is if you have a charging port at your house as well. Obviously, Nick and I, 100%. We're like nicking charges off public charging ports and lampposts, but I think having a charger at your house, that would change your situation as well. And I think that would help you have more flexibility with regards to the vehicle that you're getting. Because knowing that you can come home and charge every night gives you a kind of base where you know you can get a nice high-speed charge or a nice reasonably speed charge, a charge of a reasonable speed, shall I say.
Yeah.
I think that's a big difference.
The issue is in London, where I live anyway, like it's all on street parking. Like nobody around here in the area that I live in, East London, it's all on street parking. Nobody has a driveway. So therefore, I haven't researched the rules or anything, but I believe you can't have a charger installed outside your house because you would then need to run the wire across a public footway. So therefore it's not allowed.
Yeah. Even though some people limits, do it, not grassing up anyone.
Yeah, anyway, I know. I know, right? But that limits what people are allowed to do. So that's an issue. You know, if you've got a driveway, then it's cool. Just install a charger and we're laughing, you know? But one of the things I did find about the charging is...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like, round where I live, they have a few of them in lampposts, right? But the geniuses in the borough that I live in, they're absolute morons, mate, the council. So they've got electric chargers built into lampposts, but the space next to the lamppost is not reserved for electric cars. So most of the time, I would get back from somewhere, go to the closest charger and there'd just be like a petrol car parked there. So you can't get to it. And then like, there's like three lampposts. There's two on the road next to mine and one on a road that comes off of mine. Right. The road behind my road, both lampposts always had a petrol car in the way.
Right.
Like, it's so stupid. And then the other one, sometimes it was free, But then other times I'll go there and there'll be a petrol car parked there again. Whereas when I went to visit my parents in Portsmouth, at least the closest charger, again, was the next road along. They didn't have one on their road, but it was the next road along and it had, the space was for electric cars only. And I'm like, that's what you have to do. What's the point in putting the charging points in fucking lampposts if like anyone can park there? Especially like in London, parking is at a premium. Like round here, where I live, if you get back any later than 9 o'clock at night, there's no parking spaces.
It's exactly,
So it's so stupid. I know that's nothing to do with the electric car manufacturers. That's obviously a council issue.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody has to get on, like has to be singing from the same hymn sheet here. You know what I mean? Because that, honestly, that right there, let me tell you, will put people off buying an electric car. If they can't park it and charge it at night, they're like, fuck that. I'm not doing this.
I think, look, we have electricity in lampposts. Let's get every lamppost electric and let's give people the option. That's it. And I think that's the whole infrastructure and vehicle thing. But what's great is that the governments are pushing for electric vehicles to be the standard. So therefore, there's going to be pressure for more chargers.
Yeah.
So we are going to get them. But I think, a home charger would defo be the one that would help you feel a little bit more comfortable with electric vehicles. But on the whole, I'll be honest. Yeah. I enjoyed the e-tron, the Q4 e-tron. I think it was a comfortable drive. I found it fun. And yeah, man, I'll be honest, Nick. I think for me, moving forward for my daily drivers, but I think I'm going SUV now, bruv. I'm done. I'm done with low cars, bruv. I'll be honest. I'm done.
I agree, but the most annoying thing is I've only just got mine. You know what I mean? So like, I'm like locked in with mine for the next 3 years. So that's a bit annoying. But yeah, like SUV.
Yeah.
Bruv, it is just, I feel like it's the perfect size because, don't get me wrong, I'd love to get like, you know, something Range Rover sized or, you know, like a Q7 if we're talking Audis. But the issue is like, unless you've got a fucking driveway again, that shit's too big, man, to park around here, you know? Whereas like an SUV, it's a decent size. You can fit five people in it easy and it's not like a squash, you know, stuff like that, as well as like luggage in the boot.
Mm-hmm.
And just in terms of the, just singling out the Q4 e-tron, like, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm down on it because, you know, I'm really not. I feel like the good thing about you and I, Mark, is we'll always give honest reviews.
Yeah, man.
Cause that's what we do.
100%.
You know? So there were things that I didn't like about it, as we've already discussed. But on the whole, I thought it was a really nice car to drive. Like, and if somebody said to me, would you recommend it? Like, and I say this clean-heartedly, I would definitely say, have a look at it. Obviously, like buying a car or getting a car is a big commitment. So I'd say, you know, drive it and see what you think, blah, blah, blah.
Give it a test drive.
Do your research. Yeah, yeah. But like, it would definitely be one of the cars that I would say, have a look at it for sure. Because you know Audi's quality anyway. You know what I mean? They always have been. But also it was just a really decent, solid car. And my first electric experience, fully electric experience. And I didn't dislike it. Just the charging situation is a bit mad, but that's nothing to do with the manufacturers. Like I said, once that gets sorted and there's more infrastructure, it's going to be amazing.
There you go. Yeah, no. So we've taken your virginity, Nick. And if you do want to get an SUV that's electric, it's not much, you know, you're not going Tesla. You may want to look at the Mustang from Ford, the electric one, but then the Q4's in the runnings, man. It's in the runnings. And here's what it's good for. If you like the Audi driving experience, it's you get more of that if you go over to electric. Yeah. It's not like, you don't feel like you're switching over to a whole new brand of car. So that's what it's good for. So yeah, I'd say definitely it would be recommended for a test drive. I wouldn't poo-poo it. And in the future, if you see a guy that looks like Marcus Brunzi or sounds like me screaming out of a window, driving an SUV, it's me. Because, bruv, moving forward, I think wholeheartedly I'm going SUV, you know, after that experience. Yeah. I'm not doing any of these low cars. Unless it's a really small, souped up little car for a laugh around town, I'm going for SUVs. So I just thought I'd throw that in there at the end. But thank you, Nick, for reviewing that for us, man. And yeah, man, that's I hope we've given you all the information you need. We'll put the full specs up on the website. We'll put some pictures up on social media as well, so you can check all of that out. Before we get out of here, Nick, though, I just want to throw a couple of other stories from the tech world at you. as well. Super quick. We'll smash through these. Apple are going to be scanning phones and iPads for child sex abuse images. Apple has announced plans to start scanning iPhones and iPads in the UK, in the US, for evidence of child abuse imagery. The tech giant will use on-device machine learning technology to scan users' pictures and match them with a known database for child sexual abuse material. So this actually would happen automatically without the tech giant itself seeing the customer's existing pictures. Apple are out here trying to, on one hand, save a lot of people through positive moves, but I feel at the same time, this same thing is going to be causing a lot of people who are very much against sharing any of their information a lot of grief.
Right, well, this is where I sit on this conversation, right? If you're worried about your information, don't have a fucking iPhone.
Live in a cave.
Like, have a burner phone, lads.
Yep.
Go back and get a Nokia 3310. This is a good thing. Like, if it stops child sex abuse photos and videos being shared around by paedophiles, then I support it wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
Mate. Like, it's no question for me. Exactly. So, like, if you're someone who's arguing against it, that's on you, mate.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. You know, exactly.
I think it's about time. Look, I don't agree with tech companies having access to all of your stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm definitely against that. But equally, if it's stuff like that, you know, that's like the most abhorrent kind of horrendous type mm-hmm. of material that mm-hmm. anybody can have on their phone, in my opinion. So,
exactly.
Yeah, like, I support Apple with this decision.
100%. And before we move on quickly, just a quick note, and this applies to myself as well as you, listener. Nobody cares about you when it comes to your information. On the whole, you have to be so high. You have to be on the top 50 most wanted for them to care what's on your phone. And odds are, if you're listening to this podcast, this ain't a crime cast. This isn't a how to get away with being a multinational drug dealer podcast with advice. No, this is a tech podcast. Nobody cares about our ideas and what we have in our phone.
This is what I say all the time. Like, most people that you see on Twitter going, I don't want them watching me. It's like, they don't want to watch you. Nobody
cares.
Wants to watch you. No. How many views are you getting on your Insta story, mate? You're getting like 5 views. Do you think they're all like FBI, CIA, bloody, MI6?
All your smoke to spliff on Instagram. Ooh. Easy. Yeah, I know. No one cares. But yeah, I'm for it as well. And yeah, it does mean that our images will be scanned. And I will say this, as long as Apple continue their strict no to the government when they ask for all of the the code so that they can access all this without any warrant, should we say, because I think that information does need to be protected to a degree. We can't just have, you know, Apple sharing the key so that they can just be like, right, let's have a look at everyone's phone, because that will be abused as technology is. So yeah, that's a good thing. Also, quick one, Nick, before we get out of here, Joe Biden wants half of all vehicles in the US to be electric by 2030. That's 9 years' time. Joe Biden says he wants at least 50% of all new vehicles in the US to be electric by 2030. He announced the ambitious target on Thursday as the White House continues to take action against climate change. He also plans on tightening pollution standards for trucks, cars, and he says they're the largest sources of planet heating gases, apart from my ass after a curry on a Friday, which is... It's that goes back to what we just said about cars, only if we have governments pushing in this direction, we've got to have a better electric experience moving forward.
Yeah.
We got to, bro.
Like, I've said it on the podcast before, like, in America, it's big drives, bruv. Like, your big little dibby 250 miles is not going to cut it for most American consumers.
Yeah.
Loads of them drive more than 250 miles on their commute, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you want America to truly embrace the electric experience, the batteries have to get better and therefore the mileage has to get better.
Exactly. 100%. And I hope we get that moving forward. I really do.
Yeah. I do as well. Cause I mean, for us in the UK, that will benefit us massively.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could get, like, I don't know, 2000 miles out of one charge? It's like, we won't have to charge for ages.
Ooh, that'd be fantastic. I can't wait to get to that. I mean, I'd take a nice 500. I'd take a 600. 2,000? Yeah. Boy.
You'd only have to charge like once a month. You know what I mean? Just, it'd be great.
I can't wait till we get to the point where we're upset because they've changed the chargers for like the car. You know, like when they changed the Apple charger from big to small, yeah. And we're like, "Fuck sake,
they've
got the new Tesla charger. Fuck sake, Nick, man, they've changed the shape of it again." That's the one, man. But yeah, so you know, that's just a show that they are pushing things in the right direction with regards to electric vehicles across the world. But anyway, Nick and I have spent enough time talking about tech this week. We'll be back in your ears real soon. By the way, if you are listening to this on Patreon, you get this pretty much as soon as we've recorded it and topped and tailed it with some audio. So if you do sign up to our Patreon, you do get that. You also get all of our episodes ads free. And also with our timeless tech stories that we talk about, we also give you a free, well, not a free one because it's paid for on Patreon, but we drop an extra one over on Patreon every time we drop one on this side, don't we, Nick?
Mm-hmm. We do indeed, yeah, my friend.
Man. Yeah, man. We've not shouted out our social medias for a while. Where can we find you online, Nick?
Instagram, just my name, which is Nick Bright. Simple as
that. I'm Marcus Bronzy. I'm doing my bit over at TikTok. Find me on TikTok, man. I talk about tech on TikTok. I'm doing all right there. One of my TikToks did all right the other day, Nick. Got 2 million hits, bruv.
2 million?
Yeah, real talk, bruv. Real talk.
What the hell were you doing? Were you doing the Savage Dance? Silhouette Challenge?
You know what? I got them sweet buns out, bruv. And boy, those numbers started ringing. Once you see the cheek control man's got, yeah. Nah, I spoke about an unpoppable tire and people were really engaged by it. Nerdy as fuck, but this unpoppable tire from Michelin, and people were like kicking off saying like, impossible, bro, this can't work, and other people like, oh, fantastic, spike strips won't work, and it all popped off on there. But yeah, man, I'm talking about loads of new tech over there and having a little bit of a laugh. So check me out at Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. We are of course at How to Kill an Hour on all social medias as well. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with me, Marcus Bronzy, and yourself, Nick Bright.
Right, this podcast is created by Marcus Bronzy and me, Nick Bright, produced by Billy Wright, sound design by James Sloan, and listened to by the How to Kill an Hour squad, the legends. That's you, by the way. Nice one.
Big up yourselves. Be in your hole soon. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.